Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Today's episode of The Shift on R2C2 is brought to you by Fanatics. Fanatics has the world's largest collection of officially licensed fan gear. I actually buy a lot of cool stuff from them. They're the official on-field provider of Major League Baseball uniforms. They're also exclusive providers of the authentic MLB postseason division, league, and World Series champions locker room tees. Shop for all the leagues, teams, and players you love online at Fanatics.com. Fanatics officially licensed everything. And now, The Shift on R2C2. Lance, are you still wearing a hoodie every single day, no matter what?
Long sleeves and a hoodie every day.
But you said that's how you train for the heat, though, right? Like in St. Louis.
I find that if you're miserable every day, when you go out there and pitch, it's like, man, it's breezy. It's nice out here. We'll be all right.
But Lance, how did you come up with that?
It started out with just sweating it out.
Well, this is episode 6 of The Shift, our partnership with the MLB Players Association here on R2C2. These special episodes focused on player empowerment and making sure the guys in baseball that we interact with have a platform to speak their minds, talk about the game or themselves in an unfiltered way. And today, C, we're joined by a couple of your former teammates, bro.
Yeah, my boys, man.
Lance Lynn and Sean Kelly, thanks for being with us, fellas.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You know, I as soon as you guys walked in the studio, and I'm out in Phoenix connecting with you guys, I heard the fantasy football talk going. So have you had your draft yet?
I got a draft tonight, and then I got a draft on Thursday. And I've had one draft, so I'm in 3 leagues. So
all right.
The Rangers had theirs last night.
Okay. Live draft, all you guys together?
Oh, yeah. We had the whole group down at the steakhouse downstairs at the hotel, and we're doing it all, a little team party to go with it so we can get some heckling.
That's the funnest part. Like that. Everybody keeps asking me, like, am I getting, like, sentimental about, you know, my last year and shit? Like, no, I'm like, the fucking fantasy draft, though. Yeah. Like, I'm going to miss that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's a big deal with the baseball season, the fantasy draft, so... We're excited.
Now we got something to talk about for last month.
it's not as fun when you go into the off season because then you can't
like, talk shit to track guys.
Everybody down. It's easy in the locker room when Sunday morning you're watching your guys play and you're talking shit.
Of course, yeah. And then Lance drafts 7 running backs in a row. Last year he fucked our draft up.
I think Lance's goal is just to fuck drafts.
And then traded for 4 more that didn't play. It was a tough year for the first four weeks last year.
Oh, man.
Wait, so what did you do? Lance, did you actually draft 7 run? Like, did you just like clear the board
six
of
straight.
Running backs?
He went 6 straight
went six
running
straight,
backs.
Six straight to start the draft. And then, but so, the problem was Le'Veon at 3.
Yeah,
and
that was the problem.
I was toast all year after
Tommy
that.
Tommy was blowing a gasket the whole draft.
Yep, I was just, every time he wanted somebody, I took him right before he got to.
Who won last year?
Neil Walker.
Neil Walker.
Yeah, Walk won.
As long as it's not Hark.
Dylan was in, you know, Hark is terrible. Hark is straight donation at this point. Dylan's always in the final, though.
Always.
Always in the final. Yeah. Shady motherfucker,
He's a trading fool. His trades are amazing how they work out for him every time he did it.
It's crazy.
He's got a guy.
Oh, Ian Rappaport. He's definitely got the NFL guy. Oh, yeah, for sure. He tried to act like he's doing it all himself. He's got the NFL guy with him.
Yep.
So this is what I wonder, though. I mean, like, you guys, how many teams are in your league?
It's always 12.
Okay. So it's always 12. And do you guys have multiple managers per team, or is it all everybody for themselves?
I guess for me, it's been depending on what team you're on. I've had with the young kids, they usually double up just to help split the cost a little bit. And then usually everybody has their own. And and then a silent guy on the phone. Then I've never seen it.
This is my question though. Like, how do you determine who gets in and who doesn't? Because you guys have had to come across people who want into the fantasy league who you have to tell, like, sorry, there's no room, guys. My bad. Like, I mean, how does that go down?
Seniority down.
Yep. I was just about to say that. It's just like the older guys, honestly.
Some teams too. Like, if you're on like a young team, you know, like you may have trouble trying to even find 12 dudes. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to get like trainers and stuff to split teams. And then some teams you're fighting people off.
Yeah.
Veteran teams where a lot of guys want to play.
Last year, Luke Voigt wanted in bad. He was at the Drake, couldn't get in. Man. So he's in this year.
Had to wait a year.
Who wants in this year but just isn't going to make it in?
We kicked Hixie out to put Luke in. So
wow, really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just competition level. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to keep the league up. and his ass
went. So he sucks.
He got relegated.
He's that guy that
there's like, a Premier League over here.
Starts losing and then somehow his team's not fully filled out. Every league.
That guy. Yep.
So he's out. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's just always guys that want to get in and guys that are pissed that they get kicked out. It's a big money league. It's fun.
And I mean, I guess if you get like if you're Lance and you're with the team last year, but then you're not with them this year, then you just automatically lose your team, right?
Yeah, that's a guy steps in for you.
Sometimes it happens too. Like the trade deadline's always right before a fantasy draft. So sometimes if you lose a guy, maybe that was in the league, but then you trade for a dude that.
Was you here that year Matt Thornton was going to be the
commissioner.
He was
traded the last day of the trade.
Everybody was pissed.
Yeah, it was on an off day. I was flying back from home and at the airport, and he's like, I just got traded.
He was going to be the commissioner of the league, bro.
We got it all figured out.
Yeah, hate to hear that, but who's running the league?
I think CeCe took over that year and won it. Went undefeated.
I went undefeated.
Had the first pick, everything.
I definitely had the first pick.
Yeah, I'm running ours. I had the first pick.
Yeah, this fucking never fails. It's unbelievable.
So, if you guys, once football season starts, you know, next Sunday, like if you guys are playing a day game, do you guys have Sunday ticket going in the clubhouse?
Yes.
iPads, fucking no TVs on baseball.
Yeah, Sunday
nobody's
games are
watching
irrelevant
baseball. Yeah.
Sundays are a coin flip once football starts.
That's when it's great to be a pitcher, right?
Especially
you can
a
go
starter.
Back. Yeah, right? Just sit in there, watch all the games you want. You don't need to be out there much, right? Yeah.
You won't see CeCe in the dugout the next three Sundays.
I'm watching the fucking Raiders lose, bro.
Well, the best when the position players run off the field asking, hey, what's the score?
You think they're mad because you're in there like posted up on the couch eating popcorn watching football, but they really just want you to tell them like how their team's doing.
Guardy wants to know all his guys, what his guys are doing. Bro, Louisville didn't look bad last night.
They started out all right.
They started out good. Yeah. The quarterback's going to be all right, I think.
I was surprised.
You got
if they
some
didn't
athletes
turn the ball over so many damn times, they would have had a chance.
If he didn't fumble right before the half, and they're going to half tied, it changes the game.
Yeah, they're going to be a lot better this year than last year. Last year was fucking
last
miserable.
Year was bad, but this kid, I mean, they might.
He's
they got
good
some. Yeah.
He's a good player.
I was excited for you yesterday. I was like,
I think Notre Dame is probably a little overrated, too.
Definitely.
They need to be in a conference.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
It is.
Preseason top 10, and you just like play whoever you want.
Ian Book is not it, bro. That's not he it is. They got, yeah, their running backs are good. Their offensive
line good
is
players
good.
They just, I don't. But I mean, if they play Clemson or Bama,
they play Georgia 2 weeks from now. They're going to get blown out. Yeah.
So, Sean, are you following college and the NFL, each as closely as the other then?
Well, yeah, I follow the Cardinals hardcore, and then, you know, because you got your Saturday and then your Sunday. So, I follow the Cardinals, but then I just root for my fantasy team on Sunday. I don't really watch football. I watch my players and, like, you know, the red zone or the ticket or something and just talk shit.
Yeah. What about you, Lance? Are you into do you have a team or your fantasy team is your team?
I had the Colts when Peyton was there, and then when he went away, it turned into fantasy only, is what it turned into. And then you know Saturdays are always been big because went down to college at Ole Miss in the SEC, so we always as the SEC people always do. We're one conference.
Did they lose this week?
Oh, Ole Miss is not good this year.
Hey, but SEC
top looks good though.
Yeah, the bottom didn't look
the
too
bottom
good.
The bottom is fucking horrible.
Tennessee couldn't win.
Georgia State.
Yeah, Tennessee lost.
Missouri lost
Kentucky
to Wyoming.
Didn't look good. Yeah.
Kelly Bryant looked terrible.
Yep. Yeah.
It was a tough week at the bottom.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm a Pac-12 fan, so I can't talk shit. That was awful football. Man, it's awful.
I just can't wait wait till Jalen Hurts plays Tua in the first round of the college football team. You know it's gonna happen.
You know it's gonna happen.
They've already got that scripted.
I like Ohio State though. I like Justin Fields. Yeah, they look good. So we'll see.
Everybody always talks about that experience at Ole Miss. Like, it is just unbelievable to be at a game there on a college football Saturday. I mean, Lance, how just describe to us what the scene is like there, man, on a Saturday in college football season.
The Grove's crazy. They've got tents everywhere, TVs, satellite TVs in tents and catered food. And then you go into the game for about a half and you're tired of watching that and you head on back to the Grove to watch whatever good games are on.
Hey, man, you've had some good years recently.
We had a couple good years, and then we got some sanctions on some questionable.
What college program doesn't have sanctions? Right. A few sanctions, right?
Questionable things.
You know, I feel like, see, you talk a lot about your retirement tour and what you're going to do, you know, like swimming with orcas and everything. I feel like you're going to be hitting up different college football venues on a Saturday because you love tailgating.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing for me. Like, I just like to find a good tailgate. So, like, wherever LSU, we went down, me and Sean went down to LSU, been to Louisville. So
that was a good one.
Yeah, Louisville was a good one.
Got to meet Ali.
Yeah, he was so excited about that. We were talking about that last night.
That was a cool trip.
So, yeah, any kind of tailgate, I'm definitely going to be at for sure.
Wait, you got to explain this story now. You and Sean went to LSU for a game?
We went to LSU for a game, and I met him at Louisville, too. We went to Louisville, played Florida State on a Thursday night.
James Winston was still there.
Yeah.
And Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson was there, too.
Big game, big Thursday night football game. And we were in the AD suite, and we walked in there, and of course there was the who's who were there, but from Louisville. We didn't expect to see Muhammad Ali sitting in there, though.
Man, it was so crazy. It was so crazy. I was hovering over, to get Lil C to get a picture with him, we got that picture, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's sweet.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Like, as far as athletes you could meet throughout the annals of history, I mean, if you're going to be starstruck by somebody, he's got to be top of the list.
Well, no doubt. Like, and his family was so cool. Everybody was so cool to meet. And, yeah, it was just one of those really, really cool experiences.
Yeah, like his presence, just him sitting in there, you know, like in the corner, you're just like, dude, that's Ali, man. Like, he's in the same room as me right now.
Yeah, it was a trip.
I have to say I've showed great restraint and discipline, guys, because I've waited 10 minutes to ask Lance about his incredible hoodie tradition when it comes to being in the dugout on hot days.
And this on another level in Texas, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's touch warm down there.
Are you still wearing a hoodie every single day, no matter what?
Long sleeves and a hoodie every day.
Oh, my God.
But you said that's how you train for the heat, though, right?
So, yeah, like, I find that if you're miserable every day, when you go out there and pitch, it's like, man, it's breezy. It's nice out here. We'll be all right.
Man, so,
now you know why he drafts all running backs in fantasy football. This one's misery.
Yep. Oh, and I want to shake the whole league up, too.
I don't know how you do that, man.
It gets a little warm some days, but.
Man.
Yeah, that fifth day when I'm out there and it's 99 in Texas, it feels like just a cool summer day.
and it ain't a cool summer day.
No, man, I don't know how y'all do that, man.
We're ready for that
it's
roof.
Brutal.
What's worse, there or St. Louis?
I'll tell you what, St. Louis with the humidity was pretty bad. Texas, we had a few humid days that were not fun, but for the most part, it's just you're just hot.
Yeah, okay. It's just like warm.
You can't stop sweating.
You can't breathe.
Louis.
You just start sweating.
Yeah, but. They're not far apart, really.
But Lance, how did you come up with that? Where you're like, you know what? So that I don't have to feel anything on the mound as far as temperature goes, I'm just going to make myself suffer the other 4 days.
It started out with just sweating it out. It just kind of went from there. Hydrate while dehydrated.
That's tremendous. Oh, my gosh. Well, by the way, I mean, like, I know you and I have talked about this, and we talked about it with Roman on one of the episodes of R2C2, but, like, at Yankee Stadium, you have a nice – AC blasting, you know, in the dugout. So at least that helps a little bit with some of those hot days. Do you have that? I mean, do you guys have that in Texas? Do you have the AC blowing? Is that standard for Major League Baseball?
I think for the most part now, yeah, we have like a little something, but it gets so hot down there that you have to almost have your face on the vent to feel it.
I was about to say, they have those vents in Texas, and they blow.
You can't even feel it.
And you can't fucking feel it.
It's
man.
Too hot.
I'm just getting miserable thinking about that shit, bro.
You're going to come down at the end. It won't be too warm.
Fuck, man. Yeah. I remember one year, it was the playoffs, and it's obviously chilly here. You know, it's like nice playoff weather. And we went down to Texas. It was so fucking hot.
Yeah, it was like middle of summer again.
I was pissed, man. I was on the mound in the first inning fucking mad. Like, what the fuck is this?
Cannot stop sweating.
I was so mad, man.
Yeah, but you see, if you had just been wearing a hoodie every day the whole year, I would have been good. So mad. Yeah.
Go grab a hoodie, go sit in the sauna to get ready to go to Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Man, no thanks.
You know, you guys, Lance, you were with the Yankees last year. Sean, you had a couple years with them. Back in 2013 and 2014, C always talks about, you know, being with the Yankees as just like, you know, a different caliber of experience when it comes to amenities and you know, just feeling like an elevated level of the big leagues. Is that accurate? I mean, how much different was it being a Yankee? How much different was that experience for you guys?
Just different. It is. There's the big leagues and there's the Yankees. And it don't matter if you're, you know, if they're going to win 100 games and win the World Series or just be 500, which doesn't happen often. But we missed the playoffs a couple years when I was here. But it's still like just the way that they take care of you, the way you travel. That's second to none. Just everything's just a step up. The hotels, it's 5A. Or 6A, I don't know.
Yeah, for me, it's like that process of feeling like you actually made it. It was like I grew up in Indiana as a kid watching the late 90s Yankees and all that, and I was like, man, if I could play for New York, and when I first put the uniform on, I was like, done it.
This is it.
Finally made it.
I get kind of mad like when I see dudes like late in the year that kind of just like get picked up like on waivers, like dudes I played with that I didn't really like, not that I didn't care for, but like, yeah, you know, whatever, just whatever. Yeah. And they're like get picked up by the Yankees and I'm like, that's bullshit, man. This motherfucker, he gets to say he put on the pinstripes. He didn't earn that shit. I earned that shit.
This motherfucker gets to put on this
bitch,
bullshit.
No, go to Scranton. Yeah.
No, Sean, this is where we have you and Lance, like, this is where we have you guys name names, man. This is, I always tell CeCe, man.
Not on this podcast. We just talk shit. We don't name names.
Actually, you know what, C? We should have RotoWear make that shirt.
We don't name names. We just talk shit. We don't name names.
Yeah. I like that, man. But you know what? There's something cool. I mean, Lance, didn't you actually grow? I know you just said you mentioned you watched the late 90s Yankees, but didn't you actually like grow up a Yankees fan growing up in Indiana?
Oh, yeah, 100%. My dad was a huge Yankees fan, and that was all it was about growing up. And he was like, guys that, you know, the Mickey Mantles and all that, that's who we talk about. Taught me how to play the game, play it hard, play it to win, play it for your teammates. And that was, you know, those were the guys that, you know, you watch the core four, you know, in the late 90s do their thing. It was, so that was how I was brought up, watching the game, and then have the ability to play here and meet them all. I was like a 12-year-old kid, like, cheesing out, walking in. I was like, I'm going to be a Yankee today.
How's Pops doing? Is he still playing golf with Buddy Ryan?
Every day. It's like,
he's running up Lance's tab.
Next thing I know, it's like head covers, golf bags. I'm like, he's got a nice
course meals at the clubhouse.
Somebody's got the new PXG irons all of a sudden.
He got the PXGs?
Just dropped it on the tab. Didn't even tell me.
Hey,
I go, hey, did you get some clubs? He's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I got the most expensive club they got.
PXGs.
Right to the top shelf.
Hey, fuck it, you ain't using it. You might as well, right?
He goes, we have to use it. I go, not $4,000 worth of irons. We don't have to use it.
That's great. That is awesome, man.
This is on Sun Lance's tab. Is that how this works?
Oh, yeah. He just tells him my membership number. Like, yeah, we got it.
I think he is Lance Lynn. He's just like, I'm Lance Lynn.
man.
No one knows that I'm a member there. I walk in, they're like, who are you with? I'm like, I'm a member.
Oh, you're Lance's son.
I was like,
oh,
my dad's Mike. He's like, oh, yeah, you're good. I was like, yeah, I know I am. I'm paying for it.
Oh, it's on your dad's tab?
Yeah, I know I am.
I know I'm good. You need to talk to him.
Oh, that's great.
That is tremendous. Have you guys gotten to go out on the course with CeCe at all?
No, we never go.
I don't think I know.
No,
nah, we never
did anything in spring or anything either.
Nah,
just tailgates.
Just tailgates.
Well, you're about. I mean, see, you're just a couple months away from being able to do both, man.
Hell yeah, every day. I can't wait, man. I can't wait to get on that simulator every day too. Man, it's gonna be fun.
Oh yeah,
I gotta get my game right though.
Top golfer, though.
I put a simulator at the crib.
Yeah,
he's got the whole Topgolf at the house.
But I want to try to like get good enough to like go play. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm taking two boxes of balls out and shit. Like
a hole.
Yeah, man. We went to Pebble Beach last year. Hark, Dexter Fowler, and Aaron Hicks, and it was so much fun watching Harky, bro. Like,
it's terrible.
Oh
huh?
My god,
now,
he's so
good, right?
Bad. Hicks is unbelievable.
Okay, I heard he was good.
And Dex is pretty good.
He's good.
But Harky, watching him get so mad. I got videos. It's hilarious.
I need
man.
One of those videos.
He
I need
gets
to see
so
that.
Mad, man. But yeah, I'm a couple months away from being able to do everything, man. I want to bowl again. I haven't been bowling in 2 years, so all of that stuff.
I always forget that the Sabathia family are big bowlers.
Big bowlers. We just haven't been able to bowl with my broke-ass fucking body. So we're looking forward to getting back at it.
Oh, man. By the way, how are you feeling, C? Oh,
I'm good. I'll be all right. It's the same. You know, I got a shot the other day. Play catch today. I'll play catch tomorrow. And then probably throw a bullpen on Friday and probably be back in maybe like a week or two. So same, you know, same crap.
You know what's funny, though, man? Whenever you describe the pain as a 10, I'm just like, for a normal human, it's got to be about a 35. Because I know, like, I would be in the fetal position bawling my face off.
It's just
I can't
annoying.
Imagine.
You know, it's just annoying because I still feel like I can pitch. You know what I mean? I still feel like I can get outs, but I just can't do it consistently because I can't land right every time. So it's just that's the most frustrating part. The pain is the pain. It is what it is. I can deal with that. I've been dealing with that forever. It's just the frustrating of not being able to perform.
You're just getting old as fuck.
I am old as fuck. Basically, I'm old as fuck.
Shit. You know, we're getting towards October here, guys. And you have all pitched in the postseason. Sean, you actually pitched against the Yankees in that wild card game last year. But you know, for our audience, because, you know, we like to give them a different level of insight, whether it's about, you know, dad putting golf clubs on the tab or it's about October baseball. Like, give us an idea of what it is. I mean, how much different does it feel when you are on the mound a month from now in those games?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it is a different feeling. It's just like the energy, I think, is what it is. Like, you know, we play in the stadium, you know, last night, we play tonight and the next day, and it gets loud and, a lot of fans. But, like, I mean, you're talking – like pitch one in the playoffs is like a regular season game in the ninth when like Mariano's running in the game, the pitch and the place is going crazy. It's like that's the first pitch, and then it just gets more heightened and crazy as it goes. But just the atmosphere, the energy, the pressure and the tension on the game itself and the way it's analyzed and everybody's watching and you know all your people are back home watching, all your boys are watching. Like, it's one thing to screw up for your team and your teammates, but then like you know all your buddies are watching back home.
And
like,
you go hear
they
want to
brag about you and then like they're like, hey, my buddy's on TV, and you get back home and they're like, oh, I don't know him.
So, yeah, we're no friends anymore.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, the playoffs are special. You know, you don't know when you're going to be able to get in, but if you have that opportunity, it's awesome. And then it's like, you know, mid-September, everything's aching a little bit, but if you know you're going to the playoffs, then all of a sudden it's like, I got another win and nothing hurts until around Thanksgiving, then everything hurts again.
As soon as you get home.
Yeah, it's crazy that you can feed off of that energy though, right? Like whatever you got aching, you don't feel that shit until after, no matter what it is. Like it's just the energy of the playoffs, the people, like you said, the tension of the game
and
like
second win.
Yeah. And like you playing for like, you know what you're playing for. Yeah. Like you've been playing this game forever for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, for that trophy and you that close. So, you know, that energy just kind of takes over.
Yep.
Does it make it harder to like get through the regular season once you've experienced the playoffs and you've experienced multiple times. I mean, how often are you guys just like, oh, just get me? I mean, when your team is, you know, having the kind of year like you guys are, how often do you just feel like, please just get me to October games?
Oh, nah. I mean, when the team's good and you're having a good year, you just like the next game. You know what I'm saying? Like you want to be a part of every game. Something fun's going to happen. You know what I mean? Somebody's going to hit a homer, a walk off or something. So, I mean, every game is a lot of fun when you're playing good. So it's the whole journey, not just, you know, getting to the playoffs. That's what makes those years when you win special.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just completely comes down to like how your team, your situation you're in. If you're out of it, you know, you're an older guy that's been around, but you're on a team that's not doing real well, they're kind of like mailed it in, so to speak, or your weight, you know, you're mathematically eliminated. Then you kind of start to feel the aches and pains and count down the days. I think it's just natural. But yeah, when you're on one of those teams that's got a shot, like a legit shot, and you know it, and you're in it. It's just you take it day by day, and it's fun.
You're doing whatever you can, just like whatever, me, to try to get in shots or whatever you can just to whatever, be around this motherfucker.
You're trying to just do it for everybody. You know, it's not just, you know, when you're struggling, it's kind of gets individualized because guys are, you know, in their own situations trying to either prove themselves for next year or play for a contract or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And when you've got a chance to go to World Series, especially when you get there and it gets late in the year and into the playoffs, it's yeah, it's just it don't matter what's on the baseball card. It just matters if you get the W or not.
For sure.
Yeah, don't want it to end.
And that's like
there's
that's
no
a
better
fun
feeling
way to
coming
play.
To the ballpark, not wanting it to end.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm excited for what this place, what the Bronx is going to be like in a month, because I know, I mean, see, we've talked about it. We could just tell the way the fans connect with this group too, and kind of seeing this group grow up and you know, wanting to see that next step, but I'm looking forward to that. You know, guys,
I think they've already grown up,
right?
Yeah, right?
I think they're here.
They've grown up, man. It's been crazy to watch these dudes, man. From like the rebuild in 16, and it took 2 months to rebuild. Gary came up, hit 20 homers, and we were back. Yep. You know what I'm saying? It was crazy.
When we do these episodes of The Shift, guys, like one of the things that the Players Association likes about R2C2 is kind of this open format, getting to know guys a little better, getting to know your personalities, and also just like what you would do to either change the game and what you like most about the game right now. So, Sean, I'll start with you. Just looking at Major League Baseball as it is today, what's the thing that you love most, and what's the thing that you'd most like to change about the game?
I think it'd be more general for me. I mean, I still love the game. It's beautiful when you're out there between the lines and you're pitching and you're competing and you're winning. And I mean, there's nothing better. There's no better feeling, but especially helping a good team contribute and feel like you're a part of it. But I think that I'm all about the progression and like and making our game better and more fan friendly and like, you know, the new generation of fans and connecting with them. But I feel like we're just like throwing stuff at the wall and seeing if it sticks and just trying all kinds of crazy stuff. And I'd just like to see us take a step back and just maybe, you know, as far as like the changes, I guess maybe I'm a little more old school than some people. But, you know, for me, it's just every year it feels like there's three or four things like they want to change strike zones and pitch clocks and rules and like the way the game's played in extra innings. And, you know, it's just like there's all this crap.
Big changes.
Like I'm talking about fundamental changes, like taking relievers out of throwing one batter to three batters and like basically eliminating a position for a veteran left-handed guy. So, you know, and I know there's two sides to it, but there's just a lot of stuff over the last few years that's just kind of getting thrown at us, and I'd like to see it kind of take a little step back.
Mm. And how about you, Lance?
No, I'm on the same board there. And then you look at like the guys like Neil Walker, who are great in the clubhouse and still good big league players. They have to fight for a job every year, and so like that's the thing that struggles me. You see the guys that are the good players that are maybe not superstars, but they're great for teams, and that's how winning teams are built. But they're almost not worth the price tag in the owner's mind because the young guy's more controllable and this and that. And I think that's what, you know, the guys, there's a lot of guys that can still play this game that are getting pushed out, and that's what I don't love it. And I think that's another thing that is part of the new age, but it's also you're starting to see, hey, we need veteran guys all of a sudden. And then now it's like okay, it's starting to come back. I think all this new stuff will come back somewhat in the middle. Now we just got to make sure it doesn't get pushed too far in one way or the other. And if we do that, and then I think we'll keep having a great game and you know, don't try to do anything crazy with any of the new rules where it's kind of feels like it's a video game.
Like I look at a guy like Adam Jones, like how the you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like you said, guys that are good and good guys that can help young players, you know, turn into superstars. Like, I don't understand it.
So. Or even the rebuild teams, like, you know, they should want a few of those guys because if you just have, like when the Yankees did it, you know, you still had you and Guardian, like some core guys around.
So kind of
keep you go 25 young guys, like how are they going to learn to like really know what it's like to be a winner or a big leaguer when they don't have the guys there that kind of lead the right way and
to be a professional.
Teach them that kind of stuff because the game's as much about that, you know, as it is just on, what's on the field. So.
For sure.
See, I think, guys, that's such a key point, right? Like, I embrace analytics. I like the numbers, but the thing that drives me nuts is when people don't put enough of a value on presence and comfort. And see, you talk all the time about how you guys want your young players who come up to be comfortable so they can perform at their best, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I even look at a guy like, I'm just looking right now in the outfield, like Cameron Maben. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Him fighting for a job every year. But he's so good with the young guys, you know, showing guys how to run the bases, play the outfield, you know, work on defense, different things like that.
How to be a big leaguer.
Yeah, man. How to be a professional. How to navigate this game. You need guys like that in your clubhouse to teach these young guys that.
Yep.
And I'm sure you guys can feel it when you don't have that kind of guy in the clubhouse, right? I mean, like, it's even if it's something you can't quantify, it's got to be a palpable difference in a clubhouse when you have that or do not have that and how it affects your ability to perform.
It's a big difference. You know when you have that leader on the offensive side and that leader, that pitcher, that's the guy. You know, you know when you have those guys in the clubhouse.
I think there's kind of a void on some of the teams that don't have it. Just like you just see things just get handled differently and locker rooms can go separate ways and there can be divisions and blame game and pointing fingers. And that's usually a sign of what comes with the teams that are, you know, not very good or not really competitive. Mm-hmm. So it's just part of it. But when you got those guys in the clubhouse, those solid guys that you can look to, that puts more wins on the table, I think, than anything.
For sure.
When it's right, do you guys police yourselves in there?
Oh, heck yeah.
When it's right, you almost don't have to police anything.
You
just show up, everybody does their job.
People come to work, do their job, and it don't matter. All the bullshit don't matter.
Yep.
Just come up, do your job, help us win, and we'll go home. We'll do it again tomorrow.
That's what I like about this group. And you've been in this room, Lance. Yeah. Like, this group of young guys, like, as young as they are, they get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a lot of policing. There's not a lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of, like, jealousy and shit that you can see with a lot of these young superstars. It's a good group of guys, man, and that's the reason why I wanted to come back so bad and to try to
see
be a part of this. Yeah, man, and try
to
help.
Well, I can tell, like, you know, we had a good game last night. You guys didn't play very good. It was a fucked up day with, like, the rain and stuff. But, like, I'm sure none of the people in that club was give a fuck. You all got beat 7-0 last night. You come out tonight and try to kick our ass.
Come out and try to play, yeah.
So, I mean, that's what good teams do.
That's the group of guys, though, you know. It's with the young group, you never know how they're going to react to certain shit.
Right.
And this group always bounced back really good.
Yep.
Well, Lance, Sean, sadly, our time has come to an end here. But
I gotta go to work.
People
I'm the only one that might have to work today.
Yeah, I ain't doing shit.
That's
just the end of my day right here.
It's spa day for me. I'm getting ready for tomorrow.
Me, seeing Lance can hang out the rest of the day.
Yeah, have fun, man. I'll be sitting in the bullpen. At least there's air conditioning down there, though.
And you got TVs and shit down there.
I'll be in there watching, too. I'll find some West Coast Tuesday night college football game.
Oh my gosh! I knew that.
Toledo's got to be on, right?
Toledo's got to be on. The Mud Hens, they got to be on.
Oh my gosh! Well, this was tremendous. It's easy to see why C wanted you guys on, and you know, we just tell our guests to let our audience know to rate, review, and subscribe to R2C2. So, would you like to let our wonderful audience know that, fellas?
Yeah. What do I need to tell them to know?
Subscribe and rate
this
shit.
There you go.
A 10. Fucking 10.
Yeah, push submit.
No, this guy's going to make it 5 stars, right?
5 stars.
That's it. You can give it a 10 if you want.
Yeah, I'm going on there rating the shit out of this episode.
Thank you, fellas. We appreciate it.
Thanks, right, fellas.
New episodes every Thursday, R2C2. This was episode 6 of The Shift.